Welcome to the Smiling Homeschooler Podcast. My name is Ben Wilson, and this week we asked our listeners, what's the hardest part of homeschooling for you right now? We received some great responses, and we discussed some of these answers and provide some encouragement. Before we begin, we just want to say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. We work with them because we believe their curriculum makes more homeschoolers smile. So go support them and check out a free trial over at teachingtextbooks.com. Also, thank you to Homeschooling Today magazine for supporting what we do. They're another amazing source of encouragement, and you should go subscribe to the magazine if you haven't already over at homeschoolingtoday.com. Lastly, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever podcast app you listen on. This is a great way to help others find our podcast and be encouraged. All right, let's get going. Here's my dad, Todd Wilson.
I am ready to go, even though, man, I feel tired for some reason. Maybe it's just the change in weather. We've had the most mild and wonderful winter. We had some really warm days. Just even a couple weeks ago, we were 70 degrees. And today was like 55, but it just felt bone-chilling cold. I don't know why. It just feels a little rainy and gray, and we've had a couple days in a row. And so, I don't know. Maybe I'm having seasonal depression, like it should be summer and nice. Which led me to ask the question about, you know, how are things going in your homeschool right now? What are things you're facing? But before we do that, I was going to ask Ben, maybe... I know that last week he gave an official update on the birth of Miles Bennett. How are things at home right now, Ben?
It's been good. I mean, you know, there's still always like that time where you have to kind of figure out the patterns and just the new kid, you know. So I feel like we still haven't really figured out how do we not hold him all the time, or if we need to lay him down, or how do we get him to sleep for more than an hour with us not, you know, sitting there nursing him or whatever. So all that kind of stuff we're still trying to figure out. So it's, you know, exhausting, and Riss is super, super tired. But overall, it's been, I think, pretty good. And thankfully, he's healthy, and Riss has had, I would say, a pretty uneventful recovery so far still. So really just thankful for that. And the kids it's been fun to, you know, spend time with the kids and do all that. But this is my first official full week back to work. So we'll see how it's going by the end of the week. You know, maybe everyone will be dead by that point, but at the moment I think it's going okay.
But at least Ben will have a smile on his face.
Yeah, exactly. But you may be able to hear some of the chaos in the background. So forgive us for that if so, but I'm just trying to catch a quick window to record this, but it's good. It is just weird though, how like after, you know, we've done it four times, but you've done it, you know, eight times, but you just like, we just forget a lot of the small things that we did before. Like, you know, we have like our overall big stuff, but, just each, or maybe it's just each kid's so different. It's hard to remember what, you know, how you have to relearn it, but I don't know.
It's exactly like homeschooling. I mean, it's just always amazing to me how moms have homeschooled a bunch of kids. And then, you know, they get to this time of year, April, you know, where you're kind of like land the plane, but the captain has announced, you know, we're starting to make our whatever you say, land. You don't say landing. What does the pilot say? We're about to make our approach. You know, they take about 30 minutes out. But so we're starting to put up our seat trays in the upright position. And that just makes it hard. But what's always amazing to me, again, that parents will like, I've homeschooled all these kids and I don't know what to do right now. And we asked the question over at Facebook, and we've got lots of people talking about and asking some great questions, or maybe they weren't even asking questions. They were just telling what they're facing. And even as Ben said, Roxy said, the fact that I have a newborn and a toddler while trying to teach my 9, 8, and 5-year-olds, you know, and she made the little crying face and the sobbing face, because it's just hard. But I thought it was interesting, and maybe Ben and I will just kind of go back and forth, kind of reading some of the questions and statements, because they're just so, so good. So the question was, what's the hardest part of homeschooling for you right now? We'll just kind of.
Save some of these because I think they're good and can definitely create topics for future. So maybe, you know, we'll keep choose a few and then just really try to provide, you know, maybe Dad can give some encouragement and or me as well. But I thought kind of on that one, you know, you said forgetting even after they've homeschooled a lot. Janice Powell said, my youngest of seven turns 18 in 2 months and I'm torn between hanging on to her and being exhausted from parenting for almost 36 years. That is just incredible. But I know mom and dad are probably close to that as well at the moment.
Well, I would just say to anybody though, you know, and there is that balance after you've been doing it for a while. But the right answer is hang on to those years, because even though you think, man, we've been doing it for so long, several moms said it just goes by in the snap of a finger. And, you know, I think that's why Debbie said the last time she was on that she's trying to do a lot of the, our kids could, because we have almost 18-year-old on Sunday and a 16-year-old. And that's it. That's all we have of our eight left. And they could all do their school on their own. But she just wants to be involved so she can enjoy these days, even though it doesn't always seem very enjoyable.
It's a weird sense of joy, but it is, you know, it is important. I think this one here, Sarah, is one of the, I think, the biggest. I mean, this is one of the biggest ones, and she got a lot of likes on it. And I know, you know, Rissa and I have talked about this a lot, and she shed a lot of tears about it. But it's getting my 7-year-old to cooperate, feeling like I'm failing, sleepless nights over the stress of failing my kids. That feeling of failing your kids. I mean, when you're like, I blew it, I yelled at everyone. That was the only way I could get, you know, anyone to listen, and I, whatever it may be, you know. I mean, that is such a common feeling for parents, and let alone homeschooling.
And there were lots of moms who said that. Yeah. And I wrote several of them back and I said, stop it. You know, stop feeling that way, because, you know, you're believing lies. The father of lies is whispering in your ears, are you sure you're not ruining them? Or, you know, and I just think this is not just one mom or two moms or maybe a half a dozen moms. This is every mom. I believe every single mom feels this way. Not every single day. You might have a good day and every once in a while, or maybe you haven't experienced a good day yet. But you're not alone. And the truth is, it's the truth that, you know, God knew exactly the mom your kids needed, and you're capable, and you're giving them an amazing education. You're giving them a great family life, and you're giving them loads of memories. It's going to take them all the way to the end, you know, so you don't have to feel that way. In fact, you're really going to need to remind yourself of the truth. I heard on the radio today, some child expert. I don't even know if he was a Christian, but he was talking about, you know, our children who sometimes are struggling. And it almost sounded as though all of what our kids need is medication, you know, like there would be a pill to make them feel better. And he wasn't just talking about kids who might need some medication. He was almost talking like everybody. And really the answer is they need to be grounded in the truth. You know, when the world seems like it's falling apart, it's comforting to know that God's in control. And I think the same truth for homeschooling moms. When you feel like you're failing, the truth is you're not. The truth is you're the best your kids could ever hope for. And God knew that. If you weren't the best, he would have given them somebody else. And so that just takes all the pressure in the world off. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it right all the time. You might feel like you never get it right. But I know you think about your kids all the time. You try super, super hard, and your kids are going to grow up and call you blessed, just like the Proverbs said. So that's the truth, Mom.
Did you have another one that stood out to you?
You know, there were lots of them, but I just thought, you know, even here's one by Jessica. She said, one of the things that she's struggling with, she said, I'm very ill and my daughter has disabilities. Finding a balance has been challenging. You know, I think there was a common thread through lots of them. There were lots of moms trying to find balance you know, they're trying to think, okay, you know, we might have a newborn, have a sick kid, you know, how do I balance family life with that, moving and that? I don't think you need to find balance. I think you just need to kind of do life where you're at and learn why you're at it. You know, I mean, if your daughter has severe learning disabilities, that's okay. She's not broken. You know, you just need to train her and teach her and smile at her. And if you're ill, very ill, she wrote, you know, that doesn't surprise God. And I just think it's still better to have your kid at home, even if that's all you can do is survive. I know people will whisper in your ears and people will say, yeah, but, you know, they still have to learn. I would say they are learning, you know, and I would just give it to God and say, hey, God, I don't find balance, but I want you to fill in the blanks. And he does. He does it all the time.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Let's see here. I think Aaron here said one that got a lot of likes here, said teenage attitude. And I mean, obviously you guys have never had to deal with this, even though you've had a lot of teenagers, thankfully you've dodged that bullet. But what encouragement would you give to
they all got married. That was the saving grace.
Yeah, exactly. What was the, what do you think is the encouragement you'd share to the moms dealing with teenage attitude, which there's a lot in here that seem to have teenagers.
You know, what do you think the answer is to teenage attitudes? I mean, you don't have any teenagers, but yeah. You were a teenager.
I was.
You know a lot of teenagers. You have brothers and sisters who were teenagers.
Yeah. I mean, the things that I appreciated are knowing that my parents won't give up on me, even though I might be more emotional and more, you know, say things that are not good or wise or that are just stupider than all get out. But I really appreciated that, you know, I knew they weren't going to, that they knew where I was coming from and they gave me grace, which was huge. Mm-hmm. Even now I sometimes, you know, I've had talks with Dad about, you know, other siblings and stuff and who are kind of going through that, you know, and it's easy when you're not in it to just be like, you are an out of control maniac, you know, need to be beaten. But, you know, I think Mom and Dad did a really good job showing grace. And we knew that we were loved even through all of the emotions that are going on. Also, I really appreciated, not like an unbelievable amount of pressure. You know, I think it's not that like they had nothing expectation wise in terms of, oh, you know, I'm just a bum and I can do anything. But it's the idea of, you know, they didn't have this goal of you must go do this thing in my image, or you must complete, you know, go get your master's and then this and all that kind of stuff. So I just feel like that freedom to whatever God had for me was successful in their mind. That's a huge deal. And I think really, really helpful as a teenager, because, you know, that can be kind of a scary time. Things are changing. You're getting close to when, you know, everyone else is starting to make plans and you feel like you might need to be planning things. And, you know, obviously friends and stuff, there's a lot of pressures there. And I just think that knowing that your parents are supporting you in what's good, not obviously all the bad stuff, but it's just a super beneficial thing. And I'm so thankful for, but those are probably the two things that jumped to mind immediately. Did you have anything you want to add there?
Yes. No, I wouldn't add anything. I think you did that's exactly what I would do. I think, you know, because the attitudes are always going to be there. I mean, every single one of our kids was there. You know, some expressed themselves in different ways. It came up in huge waves sometimes, you know, where we'd say, what is happening to this old man? Our child all of a sudden is, you know, bursting out and exploding, or, you know, all of a sudden getting really moody. And they're a lot of fun until they're not. And I just, like Ben, I said, I think I would just not give up on them. I think I would focus again on the relationship and say, that's the most important part. If we don't cover everything that we would like to cover, that's okay. And then never give up on them. I can remember one time my mom, and I don't know if I ever told you this, Ben, even on the show. I remember one time, maybe I've said it 10 times and I said it last week. So
You did repeat yourself twice in the same conversation earlier this week, so you know, I don't know.
Well, I told you that with Scott Moore. I did that.
Yeah.
In our other podcast, and I'm like, yeah.
You said this last time too.
Yeah, I probably said this four times this show. But I remember one time I was down. We were at the base. So I'm doing this for Ben, not for you, because you guys don't care. But I was at the base of the stairs at my home. And we had the washing machine had overflowed the nozzle. You know, my mom was always supposed to take the nozzle and it drained right into this big sink we had. And sometimes my mom would move that and it would just gush out all over the floor. And we were all cleaning up and I was probably had some terrible stinking attitude. And I can remember my mom saying, "We've lost them, Rex." You know, like, and I know she just said that, like, because we all say dumb things like that, you know. But, you know, as a kid, it really struck me. And I wanted to say, you haven't lost me. You know, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going anywhere. Because I think there's not a kid who wants to feel like they're hopeless. And I think sometimes because we go frustrated, we say things like that. I remember a homeschool kid. I don't know if he was a teenager. He was probably really close. And he came into my booth and he said to me, "You know, will you tell my mom not to give up on homeschooling me?" Because, and he was crying. And I thought, you know, because his mom probably was exhausted, just like we started the show, you know, and said, "I just can't do it anymore. You don't care anymore. It doesn't work with you. So whatever." And I just think, so remember where you've been. You know, they've never been adults, but you were a teenager at one time. And believe it or not, you were exactly like them. And so cut them some slack and don't give up on them. And really, maybe, you know, I think there are some great times where Ben's mom, my wife, reminds me of that, and she'll say, "Oh, remember, you were like that too." And sometimes I'm mad, I'm like, "Whatever, yeah, well, I haven't been that way in a long time." But then I chew on it and I'm like, "Yeah, you're right." And we always go back and make it right. I mean, I was mad at a teenager kid yesterday, and I went back afterwards and I told him he's amazing, because he is. And sometimes in the midst of it, you know, we just had this super deep conversation, and you know, and it was like talking to an adult. And then 15 minutes later, it's like having a 2-year-old, you know. So, and that's the joys of being a teenager.
I told you not to talk about that. <Just kidding. laughs>
Said it was like talking to an adult. So,
oh yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't hit those peaks very often.
So don't give up on your teenagers. Read back down through the comments. You'll see a lot of people said the same thing.
All right. Well, real quick, we just need to say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. They are an amazing math curriculum. Our families use them for many, many, many years, and we think they are the math curriculum that helps more homeschoolers smile. You can go check out a free trial over at teachingtextbooks.com. We really appreciate their support.
Well, I'm texting and at the same time. I also want to thank Homeschooling Today magazine. Again, I was over at their website and I noticed that they have a lot of great products. They have a product that they call the toolkit. It is based on, it's like a seasonal toolkit. It has stuff for different months of the year. I think they have the whole year. And I was just looking at the April toolkit and the May toolkit. Here's what's in the April toolkit. It has stuff on discussion ideas for a lot of books that they cover. They talk about spring weather, reading and learning and drawing and writing your way to spring-like weather. You'll even make your own rain gauge. The May toolkit has talks about tornadoes and other wild weather that can both be fascinating and scary for kids. And then strawberries, because they talk about strawberries because it's now Ben's texting
Stop
me.
Being so distracted. Sheesh.
I'm kind of like Doug on
yeah.
Squirrel. And they talk about National Strawberry Month and all that. Each month is just $3. And what a great encouragement, something to add, not to add like on top of, but maybe to do during these couple months just for something new, because it does kind of get hard in these spring days. So check them out at homeschoolingtoday.com. And again, we want to thank them for being part of this amazing show.
On a quick side tangent, I showed the kids over the last week Dolphin Tale, which was like from back in 2011 or something like that. That used to be one of our the kids' favorite movies. I know Ike really, really liked it. But I thought it was super cool in it because, you know, it's a big movie. Morgan Freeman's in it, you know, very right. Family friendly. But in it, the main boy who, you know, wants to go help out at this aquarium, his mom goes to the teacher and is like, hey, he's supposed to be doing summer school, but can you just give him credit for, you know, all that he's doing here? And he's like, no, I can't do that. And she's like, this is what everyone dreams of, is to see this spark in your child's eye. And she's like, everything he's doing here is more valuable than anything he could ever do. And, you know, with books and anything like that, and he's just like, yeah, sorry, I'm not going to do it. And then she's like, all right, fine. And she, I think, essentially pulls him out and says, we're doing whatever we want, you know. And I think he ends up going back later and the teacher comes around. But I just thought it was a cool reminder of, like, she got it. You know, she understood that doing life and doing things that are, you know, present and partaking in all of that that's going on is extremely valuable, even if it's not, you know, helping in an aquarium, but just helping with new babies or your family business or people out and about, whatever it may be. So side tangent, but that's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a good one to watch with the family. I don't think there's really anything in it that's
and I just saw on the news like a couple weeks ago that they found a alligator without its upper jaw.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
So I'm gonna assume they're gonna come out with a new movie called Jawless or something.
Jaw.
The alligator without a mouth.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, but let's do a couple more here so I can go help before my family melts down in Nagoo.
Okay, I'm just going to do one more. Yeah. And actually, it's not a question because there's so many of them. It's hard to go back through and find it. But there were several moms who said something like, you know, I just feel the stress of I'm coming to the end of the year, you know, and I know we're behind. I don't want to go into the summer, but I know we're going to have to do a little bit. And I wrote several of them and said, well, don't, you know, because it just troubles me that all of us homeschoolers are under this delusion that schools, public schools and private schools, always finish everything. They don't, you know, it's just not true. And we've talked to my wife, and she shared with you how she'll kind of go through the book and see what's important if you're getting towards the end and say, okay, we're going to cover this. We're going to skip all this, cover this. And that all those subjects that you might miss, they bring them back up again. You know, math is on kind of this loop. So you kind of revisit some of those things over and over again. You can still stop. You can still stop when you want to. There was one mom who said, you know, that with her daughter, I think, who was a senior, that she's done right now. I mean, she's just done. You know, here we are April 2nd when we record this. And she's already decided, well, she's finished. That's the beauty of homeschooling, because we don't let the curriculum dictate when we're finished. We don't let the calendar dictate when we're finished. We have this inner voice that says, you know, for this year, we're done. And we can do that, and we don't have to feel guilty. So there you go.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Well, you want to wrap us up for the night and give us an outro, and we will call it an evening.
Sure. Well, again, you know, I'm going to pray for all of you in just a second here, because I really just want all of you. I know you're all going through different things. We're going to bring some of these up again. Like Ben said, there's some great thoughts and great questions and great discussion questions. But I just want you to not feel this pressure to enjoy these last less than 60 days to finish up, and to enjoy your family and enjoy the privilege of being a mom. So let me pray for you, and then I'll say goodbye. Father, I just pray for every mom listening right now that you would just
be louder than the lies, that they would believe the truth and only the truth, that their spouses, if they have a spouse, would encourage them in the truth as well, and that they would be deaf to those voices that would tell them anything different. And we just thank you again for the privilege of being with our children, having them home as we learn together. We pray for these remaining days in the school year, less than 60. I pray that we would cherish each one, because each one is sacred. And we thank you for this time, and help us to smile. In your name we pray. Amen. And so we're going to leave it at that. Have a great weekend. Hope you're getting some nice spring-like weather. If you are, don't feel guilty for taking the day off and just doing whatever you want to do. So have a great week, and of course, make sure you smile a whole bunch.
Thank you for joining us for another episode. We appreciate you being here and hope you are leaving encouraged. As always, thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. Have a great week, and don't forget to smile.